Book 6, The Book of Fate, Canto 1, The Word of Fate, page 422. As grows the great and golden bounteous tree, flowering by Alknanda's murmuring ways, where with enamored speed the waters run, lisping and babbling to the splendor of morn, and cling with lyric laughter round the knees of heaven's daughters, dripping magic rain, pearl bright from moon-gold limbs and cloudy hair. So are her dawn like jeweled leaves of light. So casts she her felicity on men. A flame of radiant happiness she was born, and surely will that flame set earth alight. Doom surely will see her pass and say no word. But too often here the careless mother leaves her chosen in the envious hands of fate. The harp of God falls mute. Its call to bliss discouraged fails mid earth's unhappy sounds. The strings of the siren ecstasy cry not here, or soon are silenced in the human heart. Of sorrow's songs we have enough. Bid once her glad and griefless days bring heaven here. Or must fire always test the grit of soul? Along the dreadful causeway of the gods, armored with love and faith and sacred joy, a traveler to the eternal's house, once let unwounded pass a mortal life. But Narad answered not, silent he sat, knowing that words are vain and fate is Lord. He looked into the unseen with seeing eyes, then dallying with a mortal's ignorance, like one who knows not, questioning he cried, on what high mission went her hastening wheels? Whence came she with this glory in her heart, and paradise made visible in her eyes? What sudden God has met, what face supreme, to whom the king, the red Ashoka, watched her going forth, which now sees her return? Arisen into an air of flaming dawn, like a bright bird tired of her lonely branch, to find her own lord, since to her on that earth he came not yet, this sweetness wandered forth, cleaving her way with the beat of her rapid wings, led by a distant call, her wake swift flight threaded the summer morns and sunlit lands. The happy rest her burdened lashes keep, and these charmed guardian lips hold treasured still. Virgin who comest perfected by joy, reveal the name thy sudden heartbeats learned. Whom hast thou chosen, kingliest among men? And Savitri answered with her still calm voice, as one who speaks beneath the eyes of fate, Father and King, I have carried out thy will. One whom I sought I found in distant lands. I have obeyed my heart, I have heard its call. On the borders of a dreaming wilderness, mid Shalva's giant hills and brooding woods, in his thatched hermitage, Dhyumatsena dwells, blind, exiled, outcast, once a mighty king. The son of Dhyumatsena, Satyavan, I have met on the wild forest's lonely verge. My father, I have chosen. This is done. Astonished, all sat silent for a space. Then Ashwapati looked within and saw a heavy shadow float above the name, chased by a sudden and stupendous light. He looked into his daughter's eyes and spoke, Well, hast thou done, and I approve thy choice? If this is all, then all is surely well. If there is more, then all can still be well. Whether it seem good or evil to men's eyes, only for good the secret will can work. Our destiny is written in double terms. Through nature's contraries, we draw nearer God. Out of the darkness, we still grow to light. Death is our road to immortality.